This is Talk Back with Chuck Morse.
And it is I, Chuck Morse, here at Talk Back, your host, 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk, heard Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. and around the world at WSMNradio.com, not to mention my website, ChuckMorse.com. My guest is Peter Safason. He is the director of the New England Anti-Mascot Coalition. He's been in the news recently because of Spalding High School's Red Raiders. Are they changing the name, Peter?
Not at the moment, no. They have had discussions recently within the school. Not a broad assembly, but a group of concerned students is actually a human rights club at Spalding who's concerned with a number of issues. Mascots at the school is one in particular. And they now have the Native American Studies course. So there's been some progress there, and it continues. There's a new principal this year,
right,
who I've been in touch with, and hope to continue discussions there.
Well, you know, it seems to me that they might have struck the right balance by having their mascot and having Indian studies or having Native American studies incorporated into the curriculum.
I think they're on the right path. I don't think they're really very close to a balance. If you have ever seen the Spalding Red Raiders logo, the skin color on this man is as bright red as Chief Wahoo and the Cleveland Indians logo. It's fairly offensive.
Can it be cleaned up a little bit to make it more like, I mean, I noticed that you don't see Aunt Jemima on the box of pancakes looking the same way as she did maybe in the 1930s. It's a little bit more of a politically proper image, but yet they've kept the image. I mean, I guess.
And that's a commercial company. It's a little bit different when you're running an educational institution like a high school. That receives not only state funds, but federal funds.
Well, I mean, but even so, I mean, they have a right to, you know, if the people of a community want certain depictions, that's their right. And I suppose
where's the line?
I guess we could look at, if you're talking about a public school, we could take a look at a lot of things that are taught in that school that might be objectionable to people in a community, and it's all paid for by their taxpayer money. So, you know, in a sense, while public schools are taxpayer-funded, nevertheless, they are given a certain degree of control by the local community and by parents who put their children in those schools and logo parentis and who expect certain types of educational modalities to happen. I mean, I think that, we should open the door to the school and take a look at some of the things young people are being taught and you know, we don't want to have things that are racist, obviously, and I don't think most people do. I think that most people would be willing to change something if it was really offensive. But there should be, a balance struck, because at the same time, by completely removing any reference to Native Americans...
On the sports teams specifically.
Right. But because I think you're removing a whole portion... You're whitewashing out, you're airbrushing, as they did. I mentioned the example of how Stalin would airbrush out facts of history that were inconvenient to his politically correct
agenda.
Well,
it's similar to what happens in current U.S. history books regarding the genocide of Native Americans.
No, that's just
wrong. And all we're teaching is that it's okay to stereotype Native Americans for your sports team logos.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right. It's just as wrong to airbrush out Native American history in history books, accurate depictions of it, with all of its warts, and to also remove Native Americans from our view and culture. It's like we can have a reasonable balance in that, and I think that there's been a lot of improvements. I think most Americans understand the history of the Indian Wars in this continent, and they should. But I think
a lot of people may understand that it was inevitable and it had to happen so that we as white people could live in this country without having to worry about Indian attacks. I think a lot of local histories, you'll read that.
You know, you and I mean, those are issues that are up for debate and should be debated.
Yes.
and should be debated in a reasonable and orderly way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that to remove, and there were, by the way, people that were Indians that were attacking, and eventually, unfortunately, there was the development of the of the reservation system, which I'm not sure was the best answer to the problem. In fact,
well, the same thing happened the reservations in 1942 were, in the United States with Japanese Americans.
Right.
The internment camps were essentially reservations for Japanese Americans.
Well, yeah, it was a gross overreaction.
You look different from us. We can't trust you. We don't know what you're going to do, so we're going to pen you up here.
It was a gross overreaction on the part of the Roosevelt administration, and I think everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's interesting. Right after Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt's FBI, within 24 hours, rounded up Japanese who were in fact part of working with the empire, and it was maybe about 2,000 or 3,000 of them. They weren't the Japanese Americans.
Right.
They were taken off the street and put into a camp very similar to Guantanamo Bay, and that was appropriate because we were at war, and they were working for the Japanese Empire at a time when they were attacking the United States. But obviously, the internment was a gross overreaction. Everybody knows that. I mean, these are just facts of history.
Right.
But getting back to the issue that we're dealing with here.
Yeah, you were talking about whitewashing and erasing Native Americans from schools.
Yes.
If you look at Spalding High School specifically, where I went to school.
Right.
Erasing a bright red-faced cartoon, however realistically someone thinks it is not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's
giving the kids at that school nothing.
I think that's
a
whole
They might feel proud to be Red Raiders, but they know nothing about the Native American experience because I think, according to the New Hampshire Department of Education, the Native American enrollment in Rochester is 17.
Right.
Entire district.
Look, I think that a compromise could be made here. First of all, American Indians aren't actually red. I mean, that's a myth anyways. They're white. But
they're probably more brown.
No, I think that they're actually a little bit more white.
And we're certainly not white. We're more pink.
I think that American Indians actually are Caucasian. I mean, I don't want to get into a discussion of race, but I think they've always been considered that. And to have them painted as red is not accurate and it shouldn't be happening. But they can still have the logo. They could just get rid of the red paint, maybe. I mean, or something. Maybe some kind of compromise could be struck.
I think they should do something similar to Texas Tech University and create some other
Red
Raider that represents either no culture or the white culture that's dominant in Rochester and certainly in most of New England.
So remove any reference to the Native American and just have it as a Red Raider that's not...
They can keep their nickname. A lot of schools have nicknames that really have no reference to Native Americans. They're not Indian words.
Right.
Warriors, Red Raiders. Those are not... even Red Men in Native Massachusetts.
What about the Washington Redskins?
The Redskins, they have a big problem.
Right.
There's a... a lawsuit that's been in the trademark courts against the Redskins trademark for a number of years, brought by Native American people, I think 1992 and again in 2005.
And it's just still being adjudicated?
Yeah, it was the Trademark Commission ruled in favor of the Native American groups to cancel the trademark in 2003, I believe, and then it was overturned on appeal.
Right.
And then it was...
I know, that's kind of a tough one to get around, isn't it? Red skin. I mean, it's difficult to say that's not just a depiction of Native Americans as red-skinned people.
Right.
Which, is not accurate.
It's an offensive term.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that political pressures, like, example, after, in the post-World War II era, during the communist rise in the world, the Reds, didn't they change the name to Red Legs because they didn't want to be thought of as red?
Right. Well, if you look at the Washington Wizards in the NBA,
right,
they used to be the Washington Bullets, but the D.C., the violence in D.C., gun violence especially in D.C., really made the owner, the owner at the time of the Washington Bullets, fairly uncomfortable.
Under the circumstances.
And of course, now why can't we change our name?
Yeah, but
it's
now
not
he's
a big deal.
Now he's offending Wiccans.
I haven't heard that.
But he is. The Wizards, right? I mean, I suppose one could argue that. Anyway, we're going to take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In southern New Hampshire, there's a variety of news and talk programming on your radio. And here on 1590 WSMN, we know from time to time you have questions about programming and comments you'd like to pass along to us. Now you can just email us at any time at info@wsmnradio.com. That email address is info@wsmnradio.com. Use it whenever you like. And thanks for listening to Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN. It's been 50 years and you still turn us on. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
And we're back. Talk back with yours truly, Chuck Morse, 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. By the way, as a program note, I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Monday. Laura Ingram will be here. And also, starting the first of the month, we've got Uno's Chicago Grill coming on as the official restaurant of the Talk Back program, so that after the show, we can all get in a big old bus and go down to Uno Chicago Grill and have some of their excellent pizza.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, right on. Right, everyone agrees on that. And they're, of course, in Nashua, right across from the Pheasant Lane Mall. It's going to be great fun having them as sponsors and having Renee LaChapelle come up, the general manager, to talk about some of the good charitable work that they're doing over there as well. Pete Sarafasan is here. He is with the New England Anti-Mascot Coalition. I don't think that when we talk about this, we're splitting hairs, because my position is, how can we preserve the Native American aspect of sports without crossing a line and being offensive, as opposed to just throwing the whole thing out? Because I think that to throw it out is actually a disservice to history, it's a disservice to culture, and it's ultimately a disservice to Native Americans. It's racist.
I disagree, because Native American people have been protesting and voicing their objections to being mascots for 40 years. Why don't we pay tribute and honor to African Americans by having a black face at Spalding High School and calling them the Black Raiders?
Well, I mean, we shouldn't do that, but at the same time...
Why is it different with Indians? Because it's always been that way.
Yeah, but at the same time, we have images of African Americans that are positive, that aren't necessarily, in other words, like some of the movies by Spike Lee. I know he's black, but nevertheless, they show certain stereotypes of African Americans, right?
Sure.
You know, is it drug dealing? He's got all that stuff going on in those movies. I'm sure you've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hugely popular, and they're made by an African-American filmmaker. That's what he wants to portray. I mean, when I look at that thing, I actually think that it's kind of racist, even though, putting aside the fact that he's black, because I know black people are not doing those things, and so do you.
Sure.
It's not, you know, it's kind of a stereotype and not a good one. Why not have a positive stereotype of black people? You know, why not have, to me...
As sports logos?
If it's done in a positive way, if you take away the red paint,
mm-hmm,
and you say this is part of a reminiscence of the warrior culture of American Indians, which I think is a positive thing, it's a good thing. In the same way that
we may look at it as a positive thing today, but in the 17th and 18th century, not so much.
No, I think that
that's when
maybe
white Europeans were trying to kill all the honorable warriors.
But I think that the Indian tribes themselves, for the most part, and there are exceptions, of course, like the Iroquois people were peaceful, but many of them had warrior cultures. In fact, the young men coming up would go through initiations that involved warlike experiences, and that's good. I don't think that's a negative thing.
Now, being a warrior as a Native American, certainly historically, is not something to be ashamed of.
Not at all.
And Native American people certainly aren't.
It's to be honored.
But in the context of high school sports,
I think
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, aside from the fact that it's been around for 80 years or 50 years or however many years it has been at certain schools. Tradition is not a reason to hold on to something, because tradition in the 40s and 50s and before prevented African Americans from drinking from the same water fountains as white people.
Which of course is something that we got rid of. My contention is that the warrior aspect of Indian culture is something that was integral to most Indian tribes, whether they be New England tribes or Western, and that is a good thing, and that it is something that I think should be portrayed in a romantic light, not just by Native Americans, but because it's part of American history by all of us.
Well, I think it can be portrayed in a realistic light rather than romantic light.
Why not and romantic?
Because it's not realistic. If Native Americans want to portray themselves any way they want, they should have that right. If white communities want to play Indian at their high school, I think they have a problem. And the New Hampshire Board of Education, getting back to the mascot issue, the New Hampshire State Board of Education in 2002 issued a statement calling for all school districts in New Hampshire to examine this issue and eliminate American Indian sports mascots, nicknames, and logos.
I think that's sad. And I think that it's a disservice to not only our culture as a whole, but ultimately to Native Americans. I think it's racist, whether they agree with it or not. It's what they're doing is we're stripping away and making invisible the Native American culture. We can replace it with sensitivity training about American Indians. But when we're talking about cultural issues, cultural icons, it's something that transcends education.
If we were doing something with these images and nicknames aside from sticking them on a football helmet. We're not teaching kids anything. The National Congress of American Indians in 1993 issued a similar statement to the statement issued by the New Hampshire Board of Education. They state, quote, "The NCAI condemns the racist and condescending attitude of team owners, colleges, and high schools, which continue to demean the members of our nations, and we call upon all reasonable individuals in decision-making positions to voluntarily change racist and dehumanizing mascots."
I think that if athletic teams were to do it in the right way by getting rid of some of the obviously offensive aspects, it could be and should be viewed as a positive image of the warrior image.
Well, who should be the group who says what's offensive? Would you say the white people who tend to own these teams and these logos, or the Native Americans who feel offended?
I think that it should be the people that own the teams in consultation with other groups, such as Native American groups, such as your group, to take a look at the thing and come up with some kind of a means by which that they can continue it in a positive way. Because I think that the image of the warrior, and as we talked about earlier, the whole issue of warlike activity is now in this country portrayed through sports as opposed to going out and having scalping people and shooting people.
Right.
Something that is a positive thing. And I think that the Native American tribes are making a mistake if they want to remove it because they're hurting themselves. Well, they're removing a portion of their own culture from
it's not their from culture. The, from it's the wide it's view. White culture playing Indian.
Well, it can
every national
look at. I mean, I suppose it's white culture playing Indian when you have people selling beads in Newburyport. I mean, it's look at Indian culture is to varying degrees part of American culture. It's not isolated. It's not just in the reservation or just among an Indian group. Pizza is part of American culture, but it's also, I suppose, in its origin, Italian. You know, it's part of American culture. And I think that if we're stripping it away, we're stripping away a part of our own history.
I don't think we're
souls.
Stripping anything away. It I think if we change these logos and we introduce real education in the schools, we're replacing it with something significant and meaningful for kids that they can take with them throughout life. I mean, if we're trying to teach kids to become adults and then deal with diverse cultures after they leave high school, what are we teaching them about diverse cultures if we teach them it's okay to stereotype Native Americans in sports?
We can change the images, the offensive aspect of the image, without throwing out the positive aspects of these stereotypes. And stereotypes are something that just exist. The Minuteman is a stereotype of the American Minutemen who met the British at the North Bridge. You know, not all of those guys were like that. These are positive images. They're romantic images.
Well, let's say in Berlin, Germany, in 2008, they're starting a new professional hockey team or a professional soccer team.
Right.
And they want to pay tribute and honor the Jewish people who died in the Holocaust by naming their soccer team the Berlin Jews. And as their logo, they have a positive stereotype of a Jewish person on the side of, the front of their uniform.
Well, it would obviously be offensive.
Why? Why is that different from what we're doing to Native Americans who are also victims of genocide in this country?
Well, it's not, first of all, it's offensive because in the same reason I gave earlier, why William Douglas defined pornography. You can't describe why it's offensive, but you know it is. It touches on something that is not an appropriate thing, and there's no tradition in Germany of naming things after Jews. Now, if Germany wanted to revitalize certain aspects of their culture before the Nazis that included Jewish images, you know, maybe, probably not. But, you know, I mean, I think it's quite different. Like, for example, I was in Las Vegas couple of years ago on a family get together, and there was a restaurant there that had images of communist images. They had busts of Stalin and Lenin. They had hammer and sickle and red stuff everywhere.
Right.
And, the communists murdered 30 million people in Russia and China. You know, they brought more suffering, more death, more poverty than any movement in the history of this planet. Mainly because they were around a lot longer than the Nazis. Probably if the Nazis had been around, they would have done the same. But the point is that a part of me was upset by it. And yet, you know, you go to the Lower East Side of New York and you see on the top of near NYU, a gigantic statue of Lenin on the top of a building. And everybody loves it. And they walk around with red bandanas. So, you know, are those images offensive? Yes. But I think that in my mind, in a sense, you have to draw a line and allow a certain level of freedom of speech, even if it borders on offensive. Now, when it crosses that line, sure. But I don't think we need to throw everything away. My point is
I'm actually not asking for people to throw everything away.
You're asking them to bring in real education. No, you're asking them to remove any reference to Native Americans from sports teams.
Yes.
And I think that's throwing something away.
Well, why don't we include African Americans
and
Italian Americans.
They have another
and Asian
of
Americans as sports logos as well. Let's just spread the fun around.
Because they haven't been in that particular aspect of the culture. Anyways, thanks a lot for joining me, Pete Safferson from New England Anti Mascot Coalition. My name is Chuck Morrison. I shall return next Tuesday at 9 a.m. You're listening to Talk Back here at 1590 WSMN. Have a good day, everybody.